I'm going to read some words from 2 Samuel chapter 11, words that will be very familiar to us if you come on a Sunday, if you ordinarily come on a Sunday evening, and you have been doing this year. We've been looking at these verses and learning some important lessons from them. So this is 2 Samuel 11. Begin to read at verse 1. I'm just going to read the first three verses. In the spring, at the time when kings go off to war, David sent Joab out with the king's men and the whole Israelite army. They destroyed the Ammonites and besieged Rabbah, but David remained in Jerusalem. One evening, David got up from his bed and walked around on the roof of the palace. From the roof, he saw a woman bathing. The woman was very beautiful, and David sent someone to find out about her. The man said, "Isn't this Bathsheba, the daughter of Eliam and the wife of Uriah the Hittite?" Amen. May God bless to us the reading of his word. A few weeks ago, my brother and his family were traveling northbound on the M6. They got on junction 35, which is the Carnforth junction. And I think they were going up maybe two or three junctions to a church service. One of their friends was having a child dedicated, and so they were due to be there for, I think, probably the evangelical time of 10:45. But as they were traveling, there was a sign on the motorway that said, "Delays." So delays from junction 36 to 37 or whatever it was. There are different road signs you can see, aren't there? Sometimes it's pedestrians in road. That's always an interesting one when you're on the motorway. Or maybe animals in road. I remember driving over Sedbergh direction a few years ago. It wasn't a motorway sign, but there was a triangular sign, a warning sign, that had a picture of an army tank in the middle of it. Let me tell you, you slow down when you see a sign like that. Anyway, my brother saw that sign. They were only traveling a couple of junctions up and thought, well, they'll just carry on. Surely it won't be too bad. 1 hour later, after plenty of time to reflect on their decision, they were still affirming the folly of refusing to listen. Tonight, our lesson is very, very straightforward and very simple from 2 Samuel 11, and that is, it is important to listen. And more specifically, we're going to see this evening that one of the reasons why David sinned was because he refused to listen to the warnings of other people. And hopefully we'll leave with the knowledge that if we want to be on our guard against sin, we must listen to those around us. So what's the situation, or where are we getting that lesson from this passage specifically? Well, David has just seen Bathsheba, this attractive woman. She's bathing. Now look with me at verse 3. We read this. David sent someone to find out about her. The man said, "Isn't this Bathsheba, the daughter of Eliam, the wife of Uriah the Hittite?" So David's seen this woman, Bathsheba. He's making an inquiry about Bathsheba. He wants to bring her to his chamber or whatever. And the messenger either already knows who she was or went and found out. We don't know. We're not told. But what we are told, well, this is me perhaps reading between the lines, but this man, of course, is speaking to the king. He doesn't say it in as many words, but I'm pretty sure his response means, "David, this isn't a good idea. David, just don't go there." He doesn't spell it out like that, but he certainly gets the point across that this woman is married. Don't go there, David. But what does David do? He refuses to listen. He doesn't listen to what this guy has just told him. God mercifully puts up a huge warning sign, but David just drives right past it, straight into the traffic jam. What would have happened if David had listened? What would have happened if he'd said, "Okay, she's a married woman, I mustn't have relations with her, I'm just going to go back to my house and have a game of solitaire or whatever"? Well, we wouldn't have had Psalm 51, but things would have been a whole lot better for David, wouldn't they? But we're not getting into the what-if games. Let's take a step back and let's do some digging around the importance of listening. So firstly, first point about listening. Listening reveals things to us that we don't or didn't already know. Now, this is really basic. This is how people are educated. It's how we learn, isn't it? Through listening or watching. What I mean is receiving communication from someone else. So how do you learn how to build a treehouse? You might say, well, you just go and get some wood and some nails and you get on with it. Yes, but how do you learn how to take a nail and hammer it through a piece of wood? Well, maybe someone taught you at school, or maybe you watched a parent do it, or an uncle or an auntie or whoever. You watched someone else do it. You saw the communication to you. You received and you learnt through listening or through watching. I used to go and help my dad often put up fences when we were fencing for the sheep or the cows, and I'd be there hammering in the nails, and my dad would always say to me, Michael, it's much easier the old-fashioned way. And I'm like, what's the old-fashioned way, Dad? He said, hit the nails on the head. Because I just totally missed the nails. I'm like, come on, let's get this thing. Hit the nail on the head. Listening, that's how you learn. How do you learn how to speak a foreign language? You listen to someone else pronouncing the words, and then you repeat them. Or perhaps you go and live in a foreign country for a number of years or months or whatever. You listen to people speaking, and you repeat what they say. They might correct something that you're saying, or you're listening to what they're telling you, and you adjust, you take on board their comments. Children, they learn through listening, don't they? Watching, taking on board what they see other people doing. My brother, when he was on the motorway, if he had listened to the warning sign, what it was telling him, he would have learnt something new. That further on down this road, there is going to be a jam, but he didn't listen. How did you come to know about the Lord Jesus Christ? What happened? I wonder what your story is. Well, for all of us, we either heard someone explain the gospel to us, or we listened to a sermon, or we listened to what a tract had to say, or we listened and read a booklet, or we read the Bible and we listened to God's voice in our hearts. Now, we all know, those of us who are believers, we know what it's like to have God speak into our hearts, because the words that we're reading or someone is saying to us and are coming through our ears rather than our eyes come with such power and authority that we know it's authentic, we know it's genuine, we know it's real, and we believe. So when you, before you were Christians, you heard someone explain the gospel or whatever it was, and you heard them say that the way you were living was wrong, and you knew that was true. You heard that Jesus had died on the cross to take the blame for the wrong things you had done, and that made sense. You just knew you had to believe. For me, I heard what someone was saying. They'd spoken about how we were all sinners before God, and that very night, I, by my bedside with my mum, just prayed that God would forgive me. I'd heard something. I'd listened. I'd heard I needed rescue. And I'd taken that on board. And for all of us who are believers tonight, listening doesn't end the day that you become a Christian, does it? Of course not. It carries on. Much of the Christian life is listening to what's being said to us and putting it into practice. Listening, seeing how we're going astray, and then correcting our behavior accordingly. As believers, the settled decision of our hearts is to listen to God through the Bible and to obey Him, to trust Him, to put into practice what we read. So listening reveals to us things that we don't know. But secondly, and mainly, listening reveals things to us that we are blind to. Now, I'm mixing the senses there. But we are listening. When we listen, we gain insight into things that are hidden from us, hidden from our view or our sight. Now, I'm not talking about learning something new here. I'm talking about something that we already know, but we're blind to. So let's go back to David. David, in his life, he is overcome with desire for Bathsheba. That desire is blinding him to what is right and what is wrong. David knew what was right and what was wrong, but in this moment, he's blinded to that. He's blinded to the fact that he should deny himself. Now, kings of Israel, I know we mentioned this a few weeks ago, but kings of Israel had to handwrite their own personal copy of the law. They then had to read it every single day. So be under no illusion, David knows adultery is wrong. He knows this would be sin. But in this moment, he is just blinded to that. Now, if he was humble enough to listen to the guy saying, she's married, you know, he wouldn't carry on, would he? If he'd listened to this guy saying, this is Bathsheba, do you notice what he says in there in verse 3? The wife of Uriah. If he'd listened to that, he would have known it was not a good place to go. He would have gained insight, but David refuses to listen. He refuses to listen to the warning that this guy is saying. He's refusing even to listen to the warning of his own heart. His desires have got the better of him. Now, what this is revealing to us is the deceptive nature of sin. Sin is deceptive in how it deals with us. The frightening thing is, probably most of us are thinking, yeah, I know that's true, but that doesn't apply to me. I'm not deceived by sin. Yes, sin deceives us all. This is what someone writes. Sin is deceptive. And think with me about who it deceives first. I have no difficulty recognizing the sin of the people around me, but I can be quite unprepared when my sin is pointed out. Sin deceives 10 out of 10 people. But it's not enough to even say that. There is more that needs to be said. It needs to be noted that spiritual blindness is not like physical blindness. When you are physically blind, you know that you are blind and you do things to compensate for this significant physical deficit. But spiritually blind people are not only blind, they are blind to their own blindness. They are blind, but they think they see well. So the spiritually blind person walks around with the delusion that no one has a more accurate view of himself than he does. He thinks he sees and is unaware of the powerfully important things in his heart that he is absolutely unaware of. That's what sin does. It's deceptive. It deceives us. A couple of weeks ago, we were having breakfast, and Sophia had just finished drinking her orange juice out of a small glass. She proceeded then to put her glass down on the surface, the breakfast bar, and slide her glass cup across the surface. It went hurtling into my bowl. I stopped and I looked at her and I was just about to tell her how terribly unsmart that was. But before I did, I realized that she was the second person to do that morning. The first person to do it was the person sat to her right, that was me. And the only difference was my table manners are slightly more refined and my glass didn't strike anything. Now, it's only a small thing, but I had a moment of clarity at that point. See, I hadn't realized I'd even done it, but when I saw it in someone else, I frowned at it. When the sliding of the glass is telling a porcupine, or it's flattering someone to their face and tearing them down behind their back, when it's being judgmental or gossiping or impatience or a lack of graciousness to others or pride, the principle is the same. When we see it in anybody else, we frown at it. But when we do it ourselves, it slips under our radar. And when we listen to other people, that helps us to see things that we're blind to. Those things that we know are wrong, but we overlook them so often in our own lives. We must and we need to listen. Watching Sophia was like a mirror for me. It helped me to see something in my own life that I was totally oblivious to. So where do we listen? Who do we listen to help us see these things in our own lives? Well, firstly, we need to listen to God. We need to daily hold up the mirror of God's word to our own lives to help us to see ourselves with greater clarity, to help us to see ourselves with greater accuracy. The Bible is God's primary way of speaking into our lives and revealing to us what is hidden from ourselves. With the psalmist, we should cry out, search me, O God. some simple examples. Perhaps we feel far away from God. Is that you, ever felt far away from God? Of course, we all feel far away from God at times. Well, how refreshing to come across a verse like Hebrews 13:5, and God speaks to us. He reveals something to us that's hidden. Hebrews 13:5 says, "Never will I leave you. Never will I forsake you." And when you listen to that and remind yourself of that truth that you have forgotten, you remind yourself of something that your circumstances are making you not believe. Or maybe you feel dirty and lousy and not worthy to be a Christian. Maybe you feel like that and you come across a verse, or perhaps God brings a verse into your mind and you're not even sure where in the Bible it's from, but you just have this verse coming into your mind, and the verse is something about, "Come, let us reason together, your sin, although it's like scarlet, will be white as snow." Amazing. And you listen. And as you listen, you see things the way God sees them, and you start to have a greater view of yourself and what who you are in relation to God. But we must also realize that God speaks powerfully to us, not just through the Bible, but also through people sharing biblical truth with us. One way that God does that is speaking to us through Christian authors. Now, we should never neglect reading of the Bible, but it's really important also to read other good Christian books. Through books, God again speaks into our lives. He gives us spiritual understanding. Now, I'm not just talking now about really heavyweight theological books. You can read a good biography, something really gripping, something that shows you the outworking of what a specific person did with the truth that God was revealing to them. But then, God also speaks to us, not just through authors, not just through the Bible, but God speaks to us through fellow believers that we meet in the flesh. What's our verse for the year? Hopefully you've memorized it. Colossians 3:16, "Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly as you teach and admonish one another with all wisdom." What a precious, precious gift you could be to somebody else. You are God's means of giving someone that you know greater spiritual insight into themselves. You, if you're a believer, are a tool in the Redeemer's hands that he will use to shape and sculpt someone more and more into the image of the Lord Jesus. Now, of course, there are some things that we must consider when we're speaking truth into other people's lives. If we're pointing out sin or gently rebuking somebody, we need to be very, very gentle, and our motive must always be love. It should be something that's done through much prayerful consideration, because it's really hard, isn't it, to have something pointed out to you in your life. And if you're not willing to receive correction of someone else, you certainly must not give it. I wonder, as an application from this sermon tonight about listening, to make this practical, I wonder if you would be brave enough, bold enough, to go up to somebody that you know really, really well and say to them, "I give you permission to speak truth into my life." Even though it might be hard for me to take, even though it's a terribly humbling thing for me, I would like you to speak truth into my life to help me to be more like the Lord Jesus, to help me to see things that I'm blind to. Now, this, of course, is another reason why small groups hopefully will be such a benefit, because as we get to know each other better in a small, more informal setting, that will hopefully foster relationships and increase the possibility for people to do and have conversations like that with each other. Thirdly and finally, listening, not only does it help us to learn something new, not only does it reveal to us things that we're blind to, but listening also gives us additional wisdom that is beyond our own. Okay, it gives us additional wisdom which is beyond our own. So this is what Proverbs chapter 11, verse 14 says. "For lack of guidance, a nation falls, but many advisors make victory secure. In the Bible, there is a really interesting account of David's grandson, Rehoboam. I assume that Rehoboam read his dad's book, Proverbs. I assume Rehoboam knew Proverbs 11:14. I might be wrong. But there was an occasion where Rehoboam had a decision to make. He had a group of people come up to him and tell him that his dad Solomon had treated them all really, really harshly. And his dad Solomon had just really worked them so hard that they wanted him to lighten their workload. They then went on to say that if Rehoboam lightened their workload, they would serve him faithfully. Now, Rehoboam took a wise step, said to them, come back, I need to think about it. And he went to speak to some different people. He had a decision to make. To start with, he went to speak to some old wise guys. And they were wise people. And Rehoboam was doing, he was following the guidance of Proverbs 11:14. Many advisors make victory secure. And those advisors told Rehoboam to listen, to adhere to what they wanted. Now, Rehoboam didn't listen. He didn't like what these old wise people had told him. So he went to some of his young mates and he asked them for some advice. The result, well, they said, just ignore them and get on with life. So that's what he did. He went back and he told them, you ain't seen nothing yet. Life's going to be really tough under me. And effectively, the nation fell. The nation, the kingdom, was divided. Why? Because Rehoboam refused to listen to the right people. If he'd listened to those older guys, he would have got wisdom beyond his own. And as a result, the nation, the kingdom, would have not divided. It would have been united. So when we listen to other people, we gain wisdom well beyond our own. So tonight, you might be a teenager, you might be in your 20s or 30s. If you listen to someone in their 60s, 70s or 80s, you might learn lots of what you might not. Depends which 60, 70, or 80-year-old you speak to. I'm not looking at anybody. But in our Christian life, we learn through listening to people who have been longer on the Christian road than us. People who are more mature than us. Now, that doesn't necessarily mean an age thing. Maturity is how obedient and how dependent we are on the Lord Jesus Christ. But we must realize that we do learn from each other. Now, maybe tonight you're an older person. Well, like we learned this morning, we are all learners. And we all must be humble enough to learn from other people, even people who are younger than ourselves. So tonight, one question remains. Will we listen? Will we humbly acknowledge that we need help from outside of ourselves? Some closing verses before we finish. Please turn there if you have a Bible. This is Psalm 32. Psalm 32, and we're going to look at verses just 8 and 9 as we close. This is a Psalm of David. Psalm 32, verses 8 and 9, of course, the very person who we've been thinking about. He writes, I will instruct you, this is Psalm 32, verse 8, I will instruct you and teach you in the way you should go. I will counsel you and watch over you. Do not be like the horse or the mule, which have no understanding, but must be controlled by bit and bridle, or they will not come to you. Those who do not listen, who do not humble themselves and do not submit to God's teaching, in Psalm 32, verses 8 and 9, are compared to beasts. Not to listen, it's like it's to be less than human. It's to be beast-ish. It is not God glorifying to refuse to listen. It honors God when we humble ourselves and listen well. If we are going to be those who are on guard against sin, then we must listen. Listen to the Bible, listen to those around us, listen to God's Spirit as He prompts us in our hearts. When we do that, we will learn new things, we will see things that we are blinded to, and we will gain a wisdom beyond our own. May tonight we be people who put into practice what we've seen from God's Word.